The reception room had a transparent wall with archways leading out onto a broad balcony. A long table of sculpted blue crystals, flecked with firefly sparks, sat in the middle of the room, laid with a scrumptious buffet of Atlantean seafood. Reuben glanced round at the collection of ornaments and pictures, pulling his lower lip thoughtfully. The seafood trade must be pretty good. Don't let Eist's dragon horde fool you, Kilda said, bringing him a goblet of pale rose wine. His grandfather, Gadra, started it 180 years ago. Pernik is one of the older islands. Our family could have its own island by now if we didn't suffer from these investments. Pieces lose their relevance so fast these days. Ignore the woman, Reuben, Gadra spoke out of the island's multiplicity. A lot of this stuff is worth double what it was bought for, and all of it retains its beauty, providing you view it in context. That's the trouble with young people. They take no time to appreciate life's finer qualities. Syrinx allowed Eisk to lead her along the table. There was an enormous range of dishes arrayed, white meats arranged on leaves, fish steaks in sauces, some wild-looking things that were all legs and antenna and didn't even seem to have been cooked. He handed her a silver fork and a goblet of carbonated water. "The art is to taste, then flush the mouth with a sip," he told her.
"Like a wine tasting?"
"Yes, but with so much more to savour. Wines are simply variants on a theme. Here we have diversity that defies even the island personalities to catalogue. We'll start with Unlin crab. You said you remembered it." She pushed her fork into the pate-like slab he indicated. It melted like fudge in her mouth.
"Oh, this is just as good as I remember. How much do you have?"
They started to discuss details as they moved round the table. Everybody joined in good-naturedly, advising and arguing over individual dishes, but the final agreements were always between Syrinx and Eisk. The Jovian Bank segment of the island's personality was brought in to record the transactions as they were finalized. They wound up with a complicated arrangement whereby Syrinx agreed to sell 10% of any cargo of Norfolk Tears back to Eisk's family, in return for preferential treatment to obtain the seafood she wanted. The 10% would be sold at just 3% above the transport cost, to allow Eisk to make a decent profit, distributing it to the rest of the island. Syrinx wasn't entirely happy, but she had come into the Norfolk Run too late to make heavy demands to her only supplier. Besides, 90% was still a lot of drink, and Inoni could transport it right across the Confederation. The price was always set in relation to the distance from Norfolk it had travelled, and a Void Hawk's costs were minimal compared to an Adamus starship's. After 2 hours negotiating, Syrinx stepped out onto the balcony with Serena and Mosthor. Reuben, Tula, and Alto had gathered on one of the reception room's low settees to polish off some of the wine. They were on a corner of the tower which gave them a view over both the park and the ocean. A gentle, moist breeze ruffled Syrinx's hair as she leaned on the railing, a glass of honey wine held loosely in her hand. "I'm not going to eat for days after that," she told the other two, giving away a sense of rumbling pressure inside her belly. "I'm bloated." "I often think we named this planet wrong," Mosul said. "It should have been Bounty."
"You're right," Serena said.
"No Norfolk merchant is going to be able to resist this cargo." She was 22, the only crew member younger than Syrinx, slightly shorter than the Edenus Norm, with black skin and a delicate face. She was watching Syrinx and Mosul with quiet amusement, enjoying the vaguely erotic overspill of their growing rapport. Syrinx was delighted with her company. It was nice to have someone so unashamedly girlish on board. She'd chosen her original crew for their experience, and they were highly professional, but it was nice to have someone she could really let her hair down with. Serena added a sparkle to shipboard life which had been absent before. "We're a pretty common choice," Mosul said, "but nonetheless successful for that. Nearly every first-time captain takes some of our produce. That's if they've got any sense.
You know, even the Saldanhas send a ship here every couple of months to supply the palace kitchens.